96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Join the Nassau Guardian as we celebrate International Women's Day, Tuesday, March 8th, 2022. This global day is celebrating the historical, cultural, and political achievements of women in the Bahamas and around the world. Join us as we celebrate and recognize the outstanding Bahamian women in religion, politics, sports, national security, business, education, and community affairs. For more information, call the Nassau Guardian at 302-2300 or call your account. But join us as we celebrate women's achievements. Raise awareness against bias during International Women's Day, Tuesday, March 8th, 2022.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, take your marks, set.
A very great afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, all over the world. Great day. Some Bahamians traveled to the United States for President's Day. And you know, Bahamians love sails. Oh, man, it's really something else. They love sails. And there's not much that we can do about it, ladies and gentlemen. But it is a good day, and Linda Fitzgerald is watching. And would you believe this? A young man called Jay Mitchell. Oh, he is watching from Phoenix, Arizona. Jay, I know you're doing something great in Phoenix, and that's what I'm talking about. You are a Bahamian. You are a great entertainer. And I am sure you're doing something well in Arizona. So, we're talking about there are numerous persons, as I said. Oh, the world has changed. And the Russian leader is challenging the, Putin is challenging, of what is going on now in the world. I note that persons all over the world who watch and listen in various platforms that we have. And ladies and gentlemen, I give shout-outs to George Williams, not the coach from St. Augustine's in North Carolina, and William Clark from the Valley, who works at Atlantis. And then the school is finished, but our Dolphin coach, Flores, has signed up with Pittsburgh. I also congratulate Wendell Jones for becoming the Bahamas ambassador to the United States, Colombia, and Malaysia. And I also give kudos to, Miss Charlton, who has run a great time. My co-host is Philippa Arnett, and I know she is on our way. Track World is brought to us by Sun Oil, Arawak Homes, Sunshine Insurance, from Vancouver to Athens, 50 years of Bahamian International Track and Field Competition. We are also talking about Freeman DeVoe, Pairdale. And Freeman is the CEO, and the business is oil and energy. I have a financial service. I am a financial services representative for Kalina. And this is over 41 years. My daughter, Alexis, is my business partner. We are the A team at Kalina. Kalina has health insurance and Kalina General Brokers. We now will go to a quick break, and upon our we will be speaking with a legend, ladies and gentlemen. So we take a brief break.
I am Bernard F. Hanna. All of you should know me as a Sting. I've got the very first copy from Vancouver to Athens. You know, I'm so excited because to be the one to have the first copy, I know what it was for Hawk, for over the years, his dedication and his excitement, his commitment to bring this best-seller book to us. And I'm excited to have in my possession not only one copy, but two copies from Vancouver to Athens. 50 years of Bahamian International Track and the Field Competition. This is great. So I'm urging all of you to get your own copy. You could get it from Logos in the Harbor Bay, or Nassau Stationers on Rosetta Street, or Chapter 1 at COB, or at Coral News and Gifts in the domestic section of the Linden Pinlin Airport. Let me tell you, man, you will never regret it. This kind of information that you get in this book is really invaluable. It's just terrific stuff. Good sports history, true and factual, you know. So I urge you, just go and get it and keep a copy and even give your friends a copy. And you know, more than one reason I am more excited about having this book. Look at page 200 and you will see me there in live and living color performing. Number three, you will see Bernard F. Hanna performing, and that is my fulfillment, one of my big fulfillment of having this book.
Ladies and gentlemen, I promise that you're going to have the opportunity to listen to and even ask questions of the one and only Ricardo Lightburn. Ricardo, how are you this evening?
Hawk, I am great, man, down here in Grand Bahama.
Oh, that's what I am talking about. Let me ask you this. Where did you first attend school? Nassau, Grand Bahama, and all of that?
Well, I actually went to Koi Mission Primary. I attended Wilton Albury there in Nassau, Nassau Street.
And that's out west? That's out west. I thought you were from, I thought your family was from the east.
Listen, we know back in the day when they were getting ready to develop Grand Bahama, my father, a government auditor, my mother, an educator, were transferred. And so we were all transferred. I took the common entrance and passed the QC. So that scholarship was sent to St. Paul's. I came here to Grand Bahama, completed St. Paul's Junior High, went to Freeport High for a year, and then left to go to Northwestern, Florida.
Oh.
And from there, a full ride to St. Augustine's College. Under Coach George Williams, we were the first ones to go up there. Wayne Smith and I were at the same school, Miami Northwestern, and Wayne went up a year before me. And then George came back down and brought up like 25 of us from Central Jackson, also Gilbert Roll, who was over there at Central.
Out of Bimini.
And right out of Bimini, the Pastor Gilbert Roll. And so we all made that trek. We went to Miami-Dade, and that's where you know, we got opportunity to get the Stewart, Leonard Stewart. He was over there. Also, quite a few other guys who were there as well. Rodney also was there. And so we all went up to St. Aug. And from there, we became the benchmark of what became an historic aspect as George Williams is the winningest track and field coach in NCAA competitions. And so that's where it started.
Would you believe this?
It came down.
Would you believe this? today is going around, and I try to ask people who they are and all of that, and they tell me how they know me. I say, do you listen to the show? He said, yes, but my name is George Williams. I say, but George Williams is one of the top coaches in the United States. So he heard that part, so I had to give him a shout out. But let me ask this. Going back to the Bahamas now, 1976 Carifta.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you did, 1976.
Well, that was the most entertaining and the and in my view, the best Carifta team that we ever put together. Because when Bradley Cooper and I came out for the trials, I went down, Bradley came in and shot put. I went into the pole vault and we made the team and we performed there in New Providence at the Thomas E. Robinson Stadium, giving the Bahamians an opportunity to see what kind of talent we had. And let me tell you, we had a unique group of individuals, and to this day, we're still all family and friends. You know, Lucy Russell, Beryl Bethel, Ricky Moxie, Chanel Ferguson was on that team with me as well, Stephen Hanna, you name it. We had a lot of guys who made the Bahamas the so-called envy of the Caribbean and made the way for the contingent of Bahamian athletes that have now come behind us and have really made a mark in the world. But there had to be a point to where it all began. And taking the gamble to host a Carifta game in 1976 was for me the most rewarding aspect that I've ever experienced. And to see where we are today, to come back as a broadcaster and call it and watch these kids develop and see where we were to cinders and to see where we are today with the Chevron track and what's happened in track and field and the numbers and the records and the whole nine yards. It in itself was, you know, fantastic. You know, Lucy is down there at Martintown Primary School. I was down there with her last week, Friday, when the Minister of Education came down. And she was kind of smiling and happy because when we see each other, we always reflect on that 76 team. And that is what is understand, Hawk. That, you know, track and field and what it brings to you as a human being is everlasting.
Oh, yes.
You create everlasting friendships and everlasting memories and the things to this day. You can talk to any athlete that has run over the years and see that their friends are still their friends 30 years down the road.
Let me say something. First of all, you know a young man called Vaughn Culmer. You would have heard that he sponsors the show.
Mm-hmm.
Vaughn Culmer. And he knows you very well. He didn't go to St. Aug, but he knows you very well for whatever reason. And then Charlene Thompson is watching from New Jersey. You know, and all those who are watching, I need to really tell them. Because when we started out, Linda Fitzgerald was the only one watching. And there's more than nearly 300 people watching from all over the world. Now, let's talk about Barbados, the turnaround from Barbados. You did 11'3" and 5¾" in Nassau for the gold. Let's talk about Barbados.
I went into Barbados, and what we found is when we got into Barbados, the box that we were using for the pole vault was damaged. And I explained to the meet organizers that, listen, I'm using fiberglass poles. I cannot use the part that you have because you have a piece of board up there. And what it does is that it limits the pull from some issues. And that's exactly what happened. I had to turn around, and once I snapped the first pole and I said to them, you need to move that board, they tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about. I say, okay, tell you what, since you guys are only used to using the metal poles down here in Barbados, then I have to use a metal pole because I cannot break another pole because I've got to go back into Florida and I'm getting ready to go into competition. And so I couldn't afford to do it. And so I had to basically just use a metal pole get over and to compete. It was a bit disappointing. But what it did for me was once I got back to the United States and got back into school and competition with Northwestern under coach Louis Bing, then I found out that exactly what I needed to do. And again, when George said he needs a pole vault, and that was it. But, you know,
George says it, and he needed it. Let me ask you this. Was Doyle Burrows down there?
Doyle was there with me.
Because he had some challenges with the poles and, you know, some of the equipment.
Listen, we had all kind of trouble with the meet organizers and directors, and they refused, you hear me? Refused to listen to us and do what we had to do. But again, that was it. But Doyle was my my field papa.
Yeah.
And he was that guy who was there. Because even in Nassau, and we went to the Carifta, he automatically gravitated to me. And he and I became like a father-son tradition. Uh-huh. And we just stayed together after competition and coming home and coming to track meets and seeing him. Was a reunion because he was that person that kept me grounded and showed me that, listen, there are bigger things beyond Carifta for you. And that's exactly what played out. And to this day, I am really and truly grateful for all of the assistance and the guidance that he's given me over the years.
So, my brother, you know something that you missed out in? What was the performances in Barbados?
The performances were not as keen as we wanted to. We were only doing like 10 feet, 2 inches, something like that.
And who
and
was
that? Was everybody?
And okay. Who was your competitor?
We had Herbert with me at the time.
That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
you could only have two.
We made it happen. You know, Herbert and I sat down and we understood exactly what the deal was. And so we had to make a choice. We had to carry the Bahamas and make the Bahamas proud. So we had to get a medal, one way or the other. Okay, both he and I had issues in terms of using the metal poles, whatever, but we did what we had to in order to compete and to bring home a silver and a bronze.
Tell me a little bit about George Williams, and as I said, talking about the NC2A division. Tell us a little bit about that.
George Williams actually grew up in Miami, in Overtown. Mm-hmm. And so he had and still have a special love for the Miami area. When he came down to us, he had already looked and spoke to Rosie on the Miami-Dade. And he wanted to put together a unified program. And that's exactly what the aim was. When we got up there, Kenneth Dotson and the guys came up and we ran and we showed that indoors, we were a force to reckon with, and George was that driving force. He had a vision, and the vision for him was to put together a solid and a competitive track and field program and to make sure that his athletes graduate. And that was something that we were very proud of. And for me, it spilled over because when Jackie Conyers and Lynette Antone and all those came up there, everybody came up and whatever, it really made a big difference because the whole gist was, listen, you got to get an education to get out of here. And Cora Hepburn knows, will tell you, I made sure, and I would check on them every day. You guys up to speed on your work. And that's what George Williams wanted.
Let me ask you this.
Cora knows we're doing volleyball and some other things. And then with Mother Pratt coming in, and he, you know, he brought in Mother Pratt and helped her get to us. And then also we had, you know, quite a few other guys that come through the system. But his whole idea, Hawk, was to develop young men and women that can perform and stand on their own 2 feet, get a college education, and make him proud. And that's exactly what we were able to achieve. And to this day, the number of athletes that's gone through there by Mother Pratt helping along the way.
A ton.
Tom the Bird Grant.
Tom the Bird Grant,
all those guys
yes.
who came up there. You know, we were the first, but they came after, and they became the catalyst to making the program work. And to this day, he's my dad. I just was in North Carolina last summer. I went up and I saw him. He was a bit disappointed in the way that the institution was dealt with him accordingly.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of that, you know, but
he seems to be happy now.
Right, you know, but to see where he was and to see what has happened now, he just plays golf, but he has still done it, you know. I was scared as heck when he went into Dubai and he got hurt.
Oh, man.
And so
I couldn't reach him.
You know, and
What's his name? I'm talking about, oh, heavens.
Rupert Gardner was there.
But Ralph was there with him.
Right. And
I know, Rupert was there.
Rupert was there. And so through Rupert, we were able to get consistent updates on how he was doing, whatever. You know, I called his wife and we were able to communicate and get some idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. He was all, so it was like an all-out blitz to keep abreast of what's going on, you know. And the one thing he said to me is that God is good. And when you do good for people and you do things the right way,
yes,
God has a way of giving you more than one chance to make amends and do some things to assist you. And
he has had more than one chance.
This is it. He's had more than one chance. You know, he's got a chance to enjoy life. He's playing a lot of golf now. He's got his grandkids. Yes. I used to babysit his daughter. I give you a joke. George had a common gear, a red common gear hawk. Mm-hmm. And he took me like a son in my freshman year. And he said to me, I just need you to make sure that when you get out of class, because I have some things to do on campus, so my job was to leave and go get Crystal from school, get her home, sort her out, make sure she's straight. By the time her mom, Olivia, gets home, they were there. And, you know, he gave me the keys and everything to his house and to his family to open up the doors. And this day, you know, he's like my second dad. And even in the way things have gone, we are still as close as we were then, and to this day, still enjoying the company, you know, the results of what's happened. You know.
Let me ask you something. You mentioned Jackie Conyers. How often have you seen Jackie lately? I know she had a friend down in Grand Bahama, but how often do you see Jackie? I know my family know his their brother, and how often do you see people? Philippa Arnett is saying good evening. Good evening, Philippa.
How you doing, darling? And I know her very well.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing because now that I am in the still in the media limelight, working with the Bahamas Information Services, I'm able to see them, like how a central bank moves around and things that she would do of that sort. That has been able to allow me to get to see them. You know, I hear from them, and when they call me and tell me, listen, I was here for the day, but I'm headed back. I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah.
You know, but that's the Bahamian trait.
Yeah.
But at least they call. And tell you, Rupert did that to me last weekend. You know, he comes down and says, I came in to give you a call.
Well, I haven't seen Rupert forever. He doesn't answer his phone. Yes.
You know, but, you know, all of the girls that came up and made the program work in volleyball and softball and even in baseball, and kids were and where they are today, and the number of individuals that have graduated from St. Augustine's University. Right now, my brother is in Maryland to the CIAA basketball tournament. And so it's a reunion up there.
He would tell me about that.
I wanted to go, badly, but right now,
you can't go everywhere.
It's not allow that to happen at this juncture, but
you can't go everywhere.
Yeah, and he's sending me videos and everything else. Mm-hmm. And so thank goodness for that particular technology. I'm able to be right there and see a lot of my old friends who have, you know, now become professionals in more ways than one, that's there to celebrate the CIAA and what it's done for all of us that's come through the predominantly Black institution system over the many, many years.
Well, let me ask you this. You are very famous in broadcasting. Could you just tell the world what you have done?
It's been a lot of fun for me, and being able to use what little gift has been bestowed upon me by the maker. I had opportunity to, first of all, go to CNN involve myself with the international program up there. And that opened my eyes
I didn't realize that, to
a lot of things in regards to sports. And my intention was to make sure that what I do in sports is going to be as close or better as what's going to be on the cable system. The doors opened to when Michael White, who was in Barbados, was working on the coverage for and said they were looking to do a English Caribbean speaking event, which I thought was unique in that regards. I was given the opportunity to go at that particular point. Marcellus Hall was supposed to go to do radio. I was going to go to do television, but Marcellus' mother at that time, you know, he lost her. And so I went down to Barbados.
I could remember that like yesterday. She went to my church, St. George's.
That's it. So it was a great opportunity. Penny Hyman, who was the producer at that juncture, sent me via email the scripts and whatever, and gave me what I needed to do. And so getting in there and working in Barbados as far as the English-speaking Olympic coverage was ideal. That then also springboarded me to be able to communicate with entities that's in the Caribbean and working with them on a consistent basis. As you know, we've had hurricanes like crazy come through Grand Bahama. And I've been one of those individuals that the Caribbean countries have been dependent upon to get information. And then in the London Olympic Games is when Sportsmax out of Jamaica got it. They wanted to send me to London to work up there. And I opted out because I really didn't want to be running up and down. And so when they told me, Lance Whitaker said, listen, we can do something similar to what we did down in Barbados, and I need you to be the host of my afternoon show and do my highlight show and go from there. I jumped to the opportunity to work with him through Sportsmax and IMC, and then also some relationships with Jamaica
one
TV.
Of a kind.
You know, and so and to go through there. And that too has opened the door for much to happen. But the recent Olympic Games, Lance called actually a week too late of previous engagement. See, the problem they had was Jamaica had put in place where individuals coming in from the other Caribbean countries couldn't come in because they had restrictions on them because of COVID.
Oh, okay.
But
understood.
We had the Bahamas and the United States had a easy entry, and so that could have happened. And so he wanted me to come down there to go down to work and to help to do the same thing, but I had a family commitment and was already committed to do some things. And so I couldn't get out of it. I did watch it though, because I saw Pauline going down and go from there. I'm still in communication with Lance and also the Sportsmax team as a lot of information in regards to sports, even though I'm working in Obama's Information Service and is not in ZNS Sports as I have been. I am still well-equipped in that area. Like right now, we have the minister on the island, the Honorable Mario Bolek, who'll be here for the Falcons boys thing tomorrow, the Dudley Sade boys to men thing, you know, and all the sports persons that I still communicate with within the Legends chat and the other sports chat, Marcellus right there, Brent, I can jump on the phone and give them something, and I'm still in that business of working and communicating, even with Kwame and the guys that are down there in Trinidad and Tobago. The World Relays was another avenue that I really enjoyed, Hawk. The World Relays was an absolute dream to work with the international broadcasters that came in and to have.
Was this the final one?
Well, the final one was the World Relays. And I think the World Relays for me capped my career.
But let me say this, Joab.
Right. And we were all over there on Paradise Island having a ball, and it was a reunion for all of us in that vein. So, you know, it was absolutely fantastic, man. And to see to this day, I still have and still is communicating with the various broadcasters that came in that are in Europe that's still working the IAAF circuit and going that route. And some of the video and some things that's necessary or they ask for, I can still get it for them. And so still engaged, still involved, and still looking. I told Lance that Los Angeles that's coming up is going to be my baby now. If you need me to go to LA,
oh, yes.
I'll go.
Los Angeles.
I tell him I'll go to LA.
Yes,
and
yes.
To go from there. And even coming up with our kids going down to Jamaica, I think that's going to be great as well because it's an eye-opener because coming through the COVID scenario and to see our kids now back on the track, see them running and then putting in respectable times after being closed in for so long, it's really incredible, man.
Well, let me say this. I have been to Jamaica, I think it would have been 16 or 18 times. And there's no other country that I have visited more than Jamaica. So I am going to go to the Charifta Games this year. I am going to go to the Charifta Games this year. I don't think that I'm going to be going to the Penn Relays. You can't go all over the place. And you should be looking at going to the World Championships in Eugene, Oregon.
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to. My brother is working on that one for us.
We're looking at taking my son-in-law and the children. She has four children now. And we're going to have a great time there. We're going to find a way to do it.
We're going to get it done. He's put together a good program to how we're going to just get on the road and make it happen. I think that's going to be the highlight of what happens for us this year. And I also want to go back to something, Hawk, what flashed in my mind. Edmonton in the World Championships.
Oh, man.
We were out there in Edmonton, you know. And if I never said it, I want to say thank you for all the assistance that you gave me out there. In Canada.
I'm remembering Canada. Now.
So
Phil was there too. Was Phil there or just you?
No, just me.
Just you, yes.
Just went to cover it. Yeah, just went to cover it.
Right outside, so, I could remember.
Yeah, but you did give me some assistance and Brent Stubbs also from the Tribune that was there as well. Thank you guys. And I remember it. If I never said it, thank you so much for all the assistance and getting back in one piece and enjoying it and still being a part. The World Relay, which was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, man, it is something else. And guess what? I am sure we're going to have it come back again. Now, you know there has to be bids.
Of course.
There has to be bids. But I think that everybody wants to come to the Bahamas. I don't know anybody who does not want to come to the Bahamas. Oh, by the way, you may know Paul Bartlett. You know, Bartletts are from Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he is watching the show.
But you know,
yes,
Hawk,
go ahead.
Coming back to that, that's something that when the Honorable Mario Boley came here to Grand Bahama in his first capacity as Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, that these are the kind of things that was placed in his head. And that's when you heard his contribution as to what he wants to do and wants to see happen. And it go from there.
Uh-huh.
Give you this. We are getting ready now to hold the Grand Bahama Games, the actual prelude to the Bahamas Games. So we will be the first testing entity for that here, and incorporating our youth and our people and our young people into the various disciplines, and to go from there. So we are now canvassing and getting a lot of the senior athletes that have worked in the various sports to come back now and begin to give us their expertise in order to make it happen. What I want to say to like Bradley Cooper, my teammates, and all those guys who have transitioned into sports administrators and those who are sitting on the sideline doing absolutely nothing to help to facilitate and the growth of talent in this country, man, you got to get off your duff and do something to help our young people and do the things necessary. Somebody did it for you and somebody did it for me. And so you got to be able to give back and to make this happen. And you'll be amazed of the young people. I know you on a day-to-day basis get the accolades where young people come to you and say, Mr. Phyllis, and thank
you. Oh, yes. Some that you don't remember.
Okay.
Some that you... I went to a funeral the other day, and I was going to St. Barnabas. This fellow was sitting outside, and he looked like he was doing some painting or whatever. And then I say, man, I know you. He said, yes, you know me. He said, I used to run with you all at distance running. I say, man, that is something else. And he is a curry. I can't remember his first name, but he was a curry. And it is unbelievable. Somebody Sandyport at the bank there. And I say, man, I know your face. He said, yes, Alfie. I used to run track and field a long time ago. But you can look at somebody and you know the person, and the person know you. So it's really something else.
Yes, and that's the gist of it. You know, I walk around every day. What I try to do, Hawk, is not to open my mouth as much as I can, because as soon as I start talking, people say, "Wait a minute, hold on, I know that voice."
Oh yeah, yeah.
I've got to break off running.
yeah.
Because it leads to conversations and. What the kids want to find out about their availability and scholarships and schools and what has to happen. And so you got to stay active. And as long as you're active and involved, you'll live.
Long. Let me ask you this. We jumping the gun now.
Go ahead.
Retirement. I say, I'm not retiring. I've been with this business for 41 years. I don't plan to. I don't plan to retire. I went to St. Augustine's. I'm talking about in the Bahamas. And we consider ourselves as Renaissance people. My brother Spence, my daughter Alexis. We have all kinds of things that we do in our mind. So tell me about when you're going to retire, how you're going to retire, where you're going to go when you retire.
Well, let me
some different places that you've been.
3 years ago, the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas sent me home. Because once you have crossed the 30-year barrier or you turn 60, you must leave.
Yeah.
And so for some people, it's like a death. No, it's not a death because the retirement age in this country is 65.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what they have done is they send people home early, but I refused to retire and to sit back and do absolutely nothing. I was approached about assisting in an administrative and media capacity through the Bahamas Information Service. And that's exactly what I was able to do over the past 2 years, is to coordinate the dissemination of government information. I've been able to coordinate the press conferences and much that happens in sports and recreation for ZNS, for ILTV, also for R News and all the other print media, Tribune, Guardian, Freeport News when they were up, and other information, plus still having a open communications with many of my colleagues in the Caribbean. And so, Hawk, I don't have any means to say just retire and go away. When you have a gift and you need to share what you want, I listened to something Neil Ellis said during the funeral last week.
I heard
that. And he said that, when you leave, you want to leave empty.
Yeah.
Okay. And your age or whatever is presented to you should not stop you from carrying out that particular mission. And I believe
that's
that.
That's the point.
Because, my mother turned 84 on Sunday. And
she's a young woman.
Okay. And she's as sharp as a tack, still involved. She is on her electronic devices and doing what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And so I've seen some people who have just decided that they were going to retire and call it a day because they're not been able to utilize that wealth of knowledge that they've acquired over the decades and not been able to put it to use. And to be thrown aside sends people into a spiral. I have no intentions of just walking and laying down and rolling over because I still believe that I have much to give and much to help with. It's those folks who don't want me around, that's fine.
That's right.
I go to other entities in order to assist and do things that we need to do.
But and my so brother, my
any
brother.
Help that people want, especially the young journalists that's coming up now and those that are looking for help and assistance. You know, I saw Kyle Joaquin when he came down here with the Minister of Foreign Affairs. He's now doing some PR work, and I worked with him. I worked with Jared when Jared was having some issues when he was getting back into it. And so I still have a lot to give, and I would like to leave like a minute and knowing that I've given the best I can of what I have to the young people that's going to be here to continue in making this country the great little nation it is.
Now, I want to ask you a question. You've been all over the world, and you've seen all types of athletes. Tell me the athletes that you get excited about. I have quite a number of them. And whenever you go, you're seeing, even if they finish participating, you're looking for who is there. Tell me those who you would look for, and tell me those who you think, well, you know, I've had my opportunity to be with our man from Jamaica, Usain, when he came here for Karifta, and when he won the gold, when he set all the records in the ones that you get excited about.
I get excited like you when I talk about Usain Bolt, and I'll tell you why. When Usain Bolt came into the Bahamas, when he ran in the Karifta Games,
yeah.
It was hosted by Mr. Basil Nemour, and that came, and he came in and he ran. People don't realize that we were the ones that gave him the nickname Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt, yes.
And we gave him that. And to remind him of it when he was here for the World Championships and talking to him and also seeing him
World
in
relays,
Jamaica,
yes, yes.
And going down, He is one down-to-earth, happy-go-lucky individual that does not curry favor.
Have you met their parents?
I met his dad when I was down in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has a foundation
down there
that we were invited to. And so we went down to do that and see how it has actually been developed.
But the mother is completely different. The father is quiet, he smiles, and the mother enjoys talking. While I was in a room for the we were talking about what Usain was gonna switch to. You know, was he gonna long jump? Was he gonna do this out of the next thing, or run the 400? She asked me, why don't I teach him to run the 400? I said, his coach could teach me to run the 400. So she is just open. The father just smiles. And they are, what do you call it now? Oh, Heavenly Father. There's a church that my sister-in-law goes to. I'm forgetting that now, but they're special people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he loves soccer and he wants to play it.
Oh, yes, yes. Would that ever happen?
He still plays when he's home.
Uh-huh.
He's playing. He's down there. Sportsmax has did something with him in terms of his soccer ability, and he has a great opportunity to move up the line in playing soccer because of his speed.
Yes.
And so he wants to look at it and to go from there. And so I think that's been great in terms of what we've seen. The other person that I really I'm elated with is Miss Ebo.
Who's that?
Watching her, Ashanae.
Unbelievable!
Okay. And you know, and to see, you know, when you see our kids grow, and you see them from an early age, and you watch them develop, and then they become these megastars. And they don't forget the fact that they came through the system.
Of course.
And they are encouraging our young people to do the same. It makes you feel good.
Well,
I'm
going to tell you something.
She's one of those that I'm impressed with as well.
I am going to tell you something. It is my belief that within the next 3 years, Shawnee and Stevie will set was if you saw how far they have gone down, okay, they will set world records. Your thoughts?
I agree 100%. And what is good is the fact that they have taken the world by storm. They have become the of track and field for us, which is now given our younger athletes that drive to want to become so special and unique. I'll give you another example of that. When Buddy Hield and Jonquil got drafted and they yes. went in, now the buzz in basketball is incredible throughout the country because they can now identify
yes.
with an athlete that has now achieved the pinnacle of their craft. And with track and field, the same thing will have athletes that are now achieving the pinnacle of their craft. Because if you go back to the game with Buddy Williams, Darley, the gold medal in the New York and stupid.
And she did something. She did something. You remember the Golden League for track and field? You
yes,
have
sir.
To win each and every one of those races. If there are 12 of them, you got to win every one of them to win, wherever mm-hmm. it is. And the last one was in Berlin. And guess what? I have a friend who, how do I put it? He is the kind of person who organizes things. And I sent a set of roses for that young lady, Tonique, okay? Mm-hmm. And when I saw him at the next event we had, I gave him the money back. But right now, there is a complete difference between the Golden League and those the other things that they have. But, you know, you have to diversify with all of
Agreed.
That. You have to.
Agreed.
Yes.
Well, the IWF has gone through a transformation.
Significant
in terms
transformation.
Of what they've done in terms of how things are done. Because you've sat at the table at the administrative level of the IWF, so you have a very good understanding of how it has evolved over the years. And so understanding that and being able to get our athletes to realize that there are some things that you basically have to be able to understand, and especially that list of banned substance and knowing
that
even at a CARIFTA level, you need to know that these some things you just can't take anymore compared to when we were competing many, many years ago, because again, they are on that list. That you know now how to take care
about
of your
that.
Body and to do the things necessary in order for you to get to that level of where you're going to compete. And then, you know, to look at this thing, Hawk, too, same thing applies with baseball in terms of what's happening with
course,
baseball.
Of course, yes.
That's why I said this little country and what's going
on
in this little country.
Man, come on. A cousin of mine is playing. Big time. He's a young person now, but big time baseball.
Right.
And I have somebody. I'm trying to remember the name now. His grandmother, who was somebody who used to run, but he was involved with the baseball out at Montague, and it's really really something else. But what I want to ask you about. The Jones, when we were in Grand Bahama for the Nationals, remember this young fella set a record in the 200 meters. You can remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went to Freeport High.
Yeah.
At the time and just walked away from the sport.
And what is he doing now?
He's got his own business. He's doing construction. And that's about it. But he walked away from the sport.
There is a Jones, okay?
Yeah.
He was, as far as I know, he was at, what's the place name now? Doha at the World Championships.
That's Gino.
And my understanding, in my discussion with him, he indicated that his parents are really into religion and all of that. And I say, you're going to do well. And now he had the opportunity of running the 60 meters, the 60 meters now, and tying the NC2A record, and it was the best time ever so far this year when you look at the World Indoor Championships. But he won't be going in the indoor championships because he's still in college.
That's in school.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, you have a lot of kids right now that's competing here. I know we've got like we got 25 to 30 kids that's out that's in the school age right at this point. His mom and dad and those who work for Patelco, I should say BTC, in terms of what they're doing and how things have gone. But that's where the parental support mechanism comes in place and go from there. I'll give you an example. Some time trials.
Yes.
Okay, here on the island. And we had a lot of parents that came out to watch their kids compete. And we have a number of kids in the under 17 division that is absolutely off the chart in terms of what they're doing. But it's going to take a little bit more work.
As you know, we've been having
this funny weather down here and whatever the case is, to notify our kids to get to where they are going to be as far as the times. And I'm watching some of the indoor times that they've been posting and watching what's happening outdoors. Everybody's getting ready to go outdoors now. And so now you're getting ready to see the full. A week ago, there was the outdoor 60-meter trials down in Jamaica. So everybody is now beginning to run.
And we had, we had what's the name in second place, eh? Our sprinter, the 200 meters. And she is in Jamaica.
The training.
Yes.
Okay. And so right now it'll come to me. But well, that's just
By the way, Philippa said it's Terrence Hunes. That's the name.
Terrence. Okay. Yeah. Terrence.
Yes.
Okay.
And Anthony Strawn. Anthony Strawn. Well, you know, she knows everything.
Anthony trains out of Jamaica.
Out of Jamaica, yes.
Okay, and go from there. Philippa is still trying to run?
Philippa isn't trying to run. Philippa is a broadcaster. And she had opportunity.
That's why I put it that way, because I work with Philippa when we did the last Red Grifter games here in Nassau. And I thought that was kind of fun. With her to sit up in the broadcast booth and go through the motion.
Of course. So let me say this. Is there anything we missed? Because we have another, 7 minutes or so, and I want to talk about birthdays and debts and all of that. Please.
No, Hawk, I want to thank you. When you did call me about the opportunity to do this, in my view, I want to thank you because it's, I've been here in Grand Bahama, and because of the COVID restrictions, unable to move around like I'd like to, and to be back and forth between New Providence and the various other islands accordingly, and to go from there, and to still be able to be, relevant in the industry and on top of what's going on, and to see that our young people are developing and we're seeing the expertise handed on. I know Philippa and those are working with young produce. Everybody's doing what they have to do down there in New Providence and doing what they need to. And for us here in the islands, keep us in mind, and we will be able to give you some of the athletes for our Carifta team that's going to be traveling. Our swimmers are doing well down here. Our kids are playing great basketball as well as baseball and even in tennis. We just had a tournament here where a number of the kids from New Providence came down. And even in the sport of golf here on the island, which folks are being involved in, or getting our youth and junior programs up and running. And for me, it's come full circle.
It's
been
about.
Unique. To see how, as a little boy years ago in 1970, playing baseball at the YMCA and then coming back and coaching, and then looking at my kids venture some of them into the upper echelon of the league, and then in track and field working with Errol Bodie and then making sure that our track program works and seeing how Tabernacle and the other schools develop, and Coach McPhee through basketball. It's just been a wonderful run, and I'm very happy that I was able to share some of that with you today.
So, Philippa said the members of the B3A track community are traveling to Miramar, Florida this weekend for an exciting track and field competition, and we talk about Jamaica. But I want to mention these birthdays and deaths. Sharon Storr, you know him. I was with him and Martin the other day. His birthday is on the 17th. You heard of Smokey Robinson. He is 82 on the 19th, and he looks real good. Sidney Poitier, the 20th would have been his birthday. Javon Williams, he went to St. John's in Minnesota, and he works with the Ministry of Education. But he, Javon, I think he participated in the World Indoor at some point. Leotha Nixon, she is our HR person at Kalina. Patrick Carey, you may know Patrick Carey. Oh man, he is. When we need somebody like him, we're talking about the T Connection. He can play with, and has played with the T Connection. Then we talk about Fred Munnings. His birthday, birthday is yesterday. Mary Benneby is assistant at Kalina. Helen Williams on the 24th. Debbie Green, you remember Debbie Green?
That's my teammate.
Oh, man, her birthday is the 24th. And guess what? When you hear about the Greens, we are from Mangrove Key, and Debbie is a Green. Kieran Darville, Philip Smallwood, Wayne Arena. And then we look about Camille Fraser. I don't know if you know Camille, but Ernest Fraser is her father, and she lives in Britain. Then we have Dr. Julian Stewart. Dr. Julian Stewart is the one who worked with BJ, and significantly, he was the one who handled the doping situation. He went down to Cuba to assist with regards to the doping situation. Then you talk about people who have passed, man. You've heard of Billy Bannister?
Mm-hmm.
Billy Bannister passed last night. Billy Bannister. And his brother had already passed. So Billy was on his way to his mother because the father is gone. And that really is something else. And then we talk about Senator Patricia Coakley, Catholic. She passed. Charlie Short, okay. We went to St. Augustine together, and he went to St. Thomas in Minnesota. And we're definitely getting the people from St. Thomas to be at that funeral 2 weeks from now, or maybe this weekend. Charlie Short, we were so close, and he became the of statistics for the Bahamas. And then Cedric Miller, our first cousin out of Andrews. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much again. I really enjoyed this show. All the people, I mean, the producer, of course, and all the people who watch and listen to the show. Thank you so much. Thank you so much again. And we're going to do something else, my brother. Thank you.
I thank you guys, and I thank the producer of Guardian Radio for making this happen. I stay with Guardian Radio here on the cable system in Grand Bahama. So I'm down here listening. Don't worry about it. We're good, okay?
Thank you.